Osiris.
Hey, this is Brendan from Umphrey's McGee. This podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts, connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Osiris works in partnership with Relics Magazine. Osiris.
Now, the enemy is using an individual from your history to prevent you to your from your destiny.
What the
fuck? Press the numerical button one now. Press the numerical button one now. You cannot repeat the same mistake that has happened generation.
This is a call that Ryder just got.
In every part of this relationship.
Don't press the numerical button one now, dude.
Time is running out. Press the numerical button
Wait, let's,
one
let's
now.
Let it play.
Press one.
If you wish to no longer receive these messages, please hit the option.
Wow. What the fuck was that, Ryder? What have you been doing?
You didn't press the numerical button once, so we'll never know.
I don't know.
That was crazy. Right as we're getting ready that, to record.
I get a lot of weird phone calls, people like, oh, you thanks for staying at our hotel room and everything, but that is the weirdest phone call I've ever gotten.
That was trippy.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, that was like real time. We didn't set that shit up.
Nope.
My finger was poised over the record button.
Well, and they didn't hear the first like 30 seconds of it.
Wow.
That was
scary and weird.
Right on. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hey now, No Simple Road family. Push the numerical button one now. Push Jesus.
Wow.
Louise.
I kind of want to know.
There's no way I was going to
Yeah,
press
call
that
it
button.
Back, Ryder. No, don't. I'm kidding.
I'll call
I'm kidding.
It back. Let's see what happens.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't.
It's a Vegas and it's a Vegas area code.
Okay. Let's see what happens, guys. You're ruining.
Oh, it's the same.
This is why you're frustrated. This is why
I can get this message whenever I want now.
Wow, lucky you.
Okay,
that's enough.
Okay. Well, solve that mystery.
Hi guys. How is everybody? Glad you're back. It's me and Mel and Apple and Ryder and we're out in sunshine.
And Darwin. It's,
and Darwin. Yeah, can't forget Darwin.
Yeah.
He'll drink at some point during the episode and you'll hear it.
Don't forget me.
This week is online ceramics.
Yay!
Yay! Woo! Online ceramics.
Yeah. Elijah and Alex.
Yay. So Melanie and I actually went down to LA.
Last weekend.
Okay, that was last weekend. Time
right?
is weird. You guys, okay. Here's the thing. I don't know if it's just me or as I get older or
it's
what.
Both of those things.
Okay. But time is weird. Like
sometimes it's like, oh, it's been a month. I thought that was yesterday. And sometimes
yeah.
you're like, oh, I just lived to 6 years this
and the
week.
Weeks go by so fast now. On Monday morning, I'm like, oh, it's Monday. And then I sleep once and it's Friday. And I'm like, wait. That just happened. Like, I remember thinking 5 minutes ago that, oh God, it's going to be like 6 or 7 months until June 30th.
Yeah. Right.
And now it's like 8 weeks away.
Is it only 8 weeks?
Yeah. It's 8 weeks away, man. That's going to be fun, you guys.
Yeah, it is.
So
yes.
Yeah. If, here's the deal. I guess we'll get into it. If you guys that are listening are going to be at the Eugene Dead & Company shows, what we're doing is we're having a little contest. So I know everybody out there has at least one story that they tell all their friends when they're talking about tripping, their, you know, whatever, your first concert experience or that one time that you ate acid and you tripped out and you were at the Grand Canyon or whatever your story is. So what we want you guys to do is call into the voicemail number 808-517-9754 971-808-1524 sorry, the voicemail 971-808-1524. Call into that number and tell us your story, man. And look, the four of us are gonna vote, and whoever has the best story we'll interview you in the lot at Eugene.
Not really best story, but
well, whichever story? One we pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's no real criteria other than
you can pick the worst story.
Yeah.
Cite your sources.
Yeah. We're
MLA
agree
format.
On a story.
Yeah.
We're MLA format. We're gonna need a full bibliography.
Anyway.
Cite your sources.
Cite your sources.
Sort your sizes.
Yeah, sort your sizes.
You definitely sort your sizes.
We'll be checking.
Anyway, so what I'm not so eloquently trying to say right now is send in your psychedelic stories, adventures, or whatever to 971-808-1524 or nosimpleroad@gmail.com.
Or non-psychedelic concert stories.
Yeah. Either way.
Or whatever or, kind
yeah.
of story.
A story,
any
yeah.
kind of story. Like, tell us a really cool story, and we'll decide which one that we pick. Like,
yeah.
Even if it's the worst one out of everything, but if we all agree, then we'll pick that one.
Yep. And so we will be in the lot at Eugene, and we'll be announcing where we're going to be and all that. And I, you know, the day of the show, you know, check Instagram, and we'll tell you where we are and where we're going to be, and you can come by, and we will interview you. So if you want to be on No Simple Road with all of us and be on the virtual porch and hang out, then that's how you do it. And also, let's see. Follow us on Instagram at No Simple Road. Follow us on Facebook at No Simple Road. Head over to NoSimpleRoad.com and we have our store there where you can get stickers, and there's still some small shirts left. And that's where you can find like all the past episodes, and the newest episodes are up there. Yeah.
We didn't really make the contest clear though.
Yeah, send in your stories. They're going to be on the show. Oh. I did make it clear. You weren't paying attention.
That's what it was.
I wasn't paying attention.
By the way,
and even if
I
you're
was
not
staring
going to be
space.
At the Eugene.
Well, speaking of not paying attention. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, never mind.
I was just saying not paying attention. We were all distracted by the woodpecker that landed on the tree over
right?
there.
That's what I really was. That's what
I know. I'm like trying to talk, and I see all of them like looking off just past to the right of me. Like, what the fuck? Is there a bug on my shoulder or something?
We just saw Woody Woodpecker, and that's why I wasn't paying attention. Sorry, Ben.
If you see a woodpecker, take a picture of it and hashtag it with No Simple Road and put that up on Instagram.
We'll be thoroughly amused.
And all that stuff, anytime you guys do a post and you hashtag No Simple Road, it goes on our website. There's like the family tab, and under that tab, all the like 20 latest Instagram posts go up there. And so it's a cool way for us to like get to see each other and get to meet and see who's out there doing the No Simple Road thing. So that's a cool way to get involved. And another way you can get involved too is patreon.com. Guys, you guys by now know what Patreon is. Patreon is the way that this No Simple Road family cares for itself and helps the show stay on the air and helps us do what we need to do. And we have had some really beautiful people sign up on Patreon, and you Chan donators out there know who you are. And this past week we had a new Patreon subscriber, and his name is Chandopoulos Nader. And I'll be honest, at first I was like, oh look, cool, Greek guy signed up.
None of us got it.
And then
I got it.
Said Chan donator, Chandopoulos Nader, get it? That's funny. That's very funny. Thanks.
I love Chan donator.
So yeah, thanks Chris, man. That was really cool of you. And you guys, that's really how we do what we do and keep it going. And it's all because of you guys. So, you know, head on over to patreon.com/nosimpleroad. You can give as little or as much as you want. There's different tiers that you can subscribe to. And I promise, guys, we're working on doing more stuff during the week that we're going to post up there as Patreon only content so that there's more benefit for you in that. And yeah, we're working on that stuff. And you know, the feedback that we've been getting too is amazing. This week we got a really cool email that Mel's going to read to you guys.
This week is from Kelsey. And Kelsey, you had a really cute donation. And I just wanted to shout you out and say thank you so much. So I'm going to read your letter because I really think that everybody should hear it. Here it is. I've been meaning and waiting and trying to write this message to you guys for a month. I binged my way through all 40 episodes. And just this morning, on my way to work, I caught up. Finally, from my own little porch in the farmlands of Tennessee, I get to say hi.
Hi.
Hi. I found the Grateful Dead at a time in my life when I desperately needed a song to sing, something to hold on to, a way to believe that things couldn't possibly stay so hard forever. The specifics of that time don't really matter. I tried typing it all up just now and got bored and nauseated with my own melodrama. So I deleted the whole long, sad sob story, which, Kelsey, I don't know how many times I've done that. You don't need to hear all that shit. What led me to them isn't what's important. What's important is that I found them there, waiting for me all along, until I was ready to hear the music and to bring its love and truth deep inside where I needed it most. Almost a year later, I'm home, full of hope and a light I never imagined I could have in me. I found your podcast much in the way I found the Dead. I know that at this point, y'all have grown and gained attention and followers and traction in this relatively new podcast medium, and it's not super likely that you'll see this and read it, much less respond to it, but I hope that you do anyway. I hope you do because I've been bursting to tell you all how much I enjoy and appreciate what you're putting into the world. I can't explain how comforting and fun it's been to listen to all your stories. All of you, but maybe especially Melanie, because you are the mother figure, the feminine energy I connect with most. You're fucking awesome, lady. Well, Kelsey, I don't feel very awesome right this second. I'm going to be honest with everybody. I'm kind of PMSing right now. but this letter is really seriously making me feel so much better. Really, truly.
Thanks, Kelsey.
A whole life I've been the perfect little girl. Well, my whole life I've been the perfect little girl and the perfect little citizen. Because of the anxiety I've struggled with since I was a child, I've felt such immense pressure to make everyone happy. Ditto. Not about the anxiety, but that pressure. I've struggled with since I was a child. I felt so... Okay, sorry. Back to that. To be the person I thought I was supposed to be, to make everyone proud. It was like I was waiting for permission to just fucking let it all go and do what I want. I won't say that this podcast alone spurred that change in me, but it's definitely been a part of the process. It's made me a little braver, I think. I still have anxiety like a motherfucker, and I still struggle with my compulsive need to please the people I love, but I'm settling into myself more and more all the time. Today I feel more at peace and comfortable in my own skin than I ever have before. That's a huge statement right there, too. I know I've been very vague and used a lot of flowery language in this email. I'm sorry if it's obnoxious overkill. It's really not.
No.
That's kind of who I am, but this is also who I am, in clearer words. I am 23, I'm a proud Southerner, and a proud liberal, and a free spirit. Because of these things, by the way, I really loved and resonated with episode 13 and Tom, a fellow Tennessean, and Babyhead. I've also loved the interview you did with MC Taylor. His Golden Messenger is phenomenal, and I'm always so excited to hear voices from the South that show who we really are. We're not the barefoot, toothless, racist, hateful stereotype that's out there on such prominent display. I mean, yeah, some of us are, but they're dying out like the dinosaurs, and a new progressive loving South is springing up in that old dead one's wake. For real, hearing these voices and perspectives on No Simple Road, my own voice and perspective is like my own voice and perspective. I have loved each and every episode, but I felt a real kinship with both of those guests based off my own background. I'm a Bonnaroo local. If you ever decide to come to that particular festival, you'll be about 10 minutes away from my house. I do customer service work by day and freelance editorial work by night. I write, and I've had a few things published. I'm an absolute sports fanatic, and I've been with the love of my life since we were 13 years old. Bob Dylan is my god, and I'm a Deadhead, and I'm happy to be part of this community. I'm so happy I found your podcast and your family. Thank you again so incredibly much for doing what you do. I'm not able to do much because things are tight, but I'm about to send a little something through PayPal. I hope y'all find it cute. Love and light to you all from my own little porch, Kelsey. Wow.
That's awesome.
There's really nothing to add after cool. that. Like, seriously.
So she sent in some cash through the PayPal, and just as a one-time thing. And man, you know, you guys that sign up for Patreon, that's awesome. And getting those gifts through the PayPal It's like Christmas.
That's what I said in my letter to her.
It totally feels like that. Like, I open up my email before I go to work in the morning, and I'm like, holy shit. And it's just cool to know that, like, we're supporting each other, and that this thing is, like, self-sustaining and under its own momentum. And I don't know, man. I've been tripping out lately, like, on, not in a bad way, but just in general about the way that it feels having this thing grow. It's a trip. The way that it's changed the house, and it's changed the way that we all do, like, our day-to-day. And it just, you can feel it. You
How could, does it change?
It's a part of everything now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
on our minds all the time.
Like, we'll get together in the evenings and sit down and, like, actually have a meeting about the show, where before we were all just, like, hanging out, listening to music. And that's fine.
That's how the show started.
Yeah, and that's, we still do that stuff. But it's all happened, like, naturally. And it's changed everything so much. I was telling Mel the other night, like, I can feel it in the energy in the house. I don't even know how to really articulate it. Just the momentum of what's happening through the show. Yeah, it has weight. And it's really beautiful, guys. And it's because of all of you. All you guys that are out there listening right now, like,
are a presence.
Yeah, we feel you here in the house. And, like, when I've said this before, like, when we say, hey, now, No Simple Road family, like, I'm talking to you. You that are out there, like, driving your car. You that are sitting there at work with your headphones on. You that are on your back porch smoking a joint right now listening to this. Like, you're the one that I'm talking to. You guys. And it's when we're doing these interviews, I really do feel like you guys are here with us. It's a trip. And it's changed everything for us. And you know, Kelsey brought something up in that letter that... She was like, you know, I know your show is growing and you probably won't have time to answer this, but yeah. I don't care if there's 100,000 people a month listening to this show. Like, that's something that I want to always do, is be able to be part of that, because that's why we do this, right? Like,
well, I mean, that's not why we started, but it definitely feels so good now that... Now when we get together, we get to read these incredible letters. And although Kelsey didn't give us, like, the props for, you know, making her braver, she said it maybe just a little bit. And if we can do that in someone's life, even just a little bit, give them courage, or a little bit, give them, like, love. I say them, I mean you guys. But, like, if just us talking and putting out our love into the air is making a difference, or making you smile, or making your traffic, you know, more bearable, that is what it's about.
Yeah, like,
now.
Like Helen from Zazcorp said, she looks forward to hearing the show on her drive to work on Monday. And yeah, that's cool, man. Like, knowing that I get to be riding to work with you and we're hanging out. And that's really cool. And like, you know, the stuff like we're doing in Eugene, I really do want you guys to come by and meet us, and so that we can continue to build this thing and see your faces and give you a hug and, like, interact on a personal level. And so there's things that we have in the works right now that are coming up. I can't say more at this point, but, like, just know that we're working on making things bigger and better, and having more chances to interact with you guys and be out there more, and, you know, maybe doing some live podcasting and bringing the porch to you guys a little bit more is kind of the thought behind it.
So you said you weren't going to say anything.
I didn't say where or what. I can't, you know me, I can't keep a secret, but I'm not saying more than that because you never know. Anyway, so yeah, online ceramics, man.
So Aaron and I went to LA last weekend because we stopped talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it was such an amazing time. Me, him, and our son went to visit our daughter. And while we were there, we had an opportunity to catch up with Alex and Elijah. They both freed some time in their schedule to have us come visit and see their studio. And they gave us some swag. And they were really...
gracious.
Very gracious. Very gracious with their time and their energy and their place, that they're creating really fucking cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when we flew home that day on Sunday and I had my online ceramic sweatshirt on, like, it just felt so good. It felt like literally like the fabric felt amazing, but that whole trip and just connecting with them. So it made me really happy to be putting this show out this week, because we got to connect with people that we wouldn't have normally in mm-hmm. real life.
Yeah. Yeah. And just going down there, I mean, you'll hear the interview of us talking to them, but like us going down there and getting to meet them in person it added another dimension to the interview and the whole thing that just wasn't, I don't know, just wasn't part of the vibe before. And meeting somebody face to face, it just makes it so much different. And like you said, they were super gracious and cool, and it was really fun getting to meet them. And I'm really looking forward to them coming up here for the Gorge
and we're meeting them at Eugene.
And
too.
No, they're coming. They're going to come stay.
Oh, they're coming to stay with us.
Yeah, they said they were going
to
come.
Me and Ryder look really forward to meeting them, because we were so glad you guys got to.
Yeah,
it's kind of bummed.
So yeah, guys, we'll get to the interview here in a second. Like I said, you know, go to the website, check us out on Instagram, go by the website and hit the family tab, and that's where you can sign up for the newsletter and you find out about stuff about the show. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/nosimpleroad. And then one last thing before we go, if you want to win a signed Rift LP signed by Tom Marshall or a $100 Amazon gift card, Osiris, the network that we're on, is doing a survey to find out more about the listeners and how we can make the network better. So I will put the address to that survey in the show notes, and it'll also be up on our website. And if you guys head over there, you are entered into a drawing to win either that Rift LP or the $100 Amazon gift card. And you know, I'd really like to see them get completely just blasted and flooded by No Simple Road submission. So one of the first questions that they ask on the survey, I looked it over last night, was which podcast on the Osiris network do you listen to, and which one do you listen to consistently? And so yeah, guys, do me a favor, go click that link in the show notes or go to the website and click the link and just flood them with submissions, so they, you know, that No Simple Road is a badass.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. That would be really cool, guys.
Thanks in advance, you guys. Yes. I know at least somebody's going to do it out there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thanks, you. Whoever just did that.
that one dude.
Oh, and that one lady. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. You're super cool. Anyway, so yeah, that's all the business stuff and the personal stuff, and the birds are chirping, and there's Melanie's mom's around, coming into town, and woodpeckers are here.
It's Cinco de Mayo,
and next weekend's Melanie's Mother's Day.
Here.
And yeah,
next weekend.
And Mel's sister's here.
Yeah,
that's three times now. And
and my sister's here.
And remember
Mel's
to drink water.
Here.
Drink lots of water. Wait.
Yeah, drink lots of water. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, okay. Hydration's good.
Hydration is important.
It's summertime. Wear sunscreen if you need it.
You know, guys, remember, safety first.
Safety first. Mm-hmm. Wear Always a helmet when you're riding your bike.
Exactly.
Safety glasses.
Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we give you Online Ceramics.
Why would I call you in the morning? I live with you. I don't need to call you. It went along with the take two. They're small. Oh, they're very large.
Yeah. Hey, just deal with it, man. It's just
me.
A ringy sound.
It just
It'll
scared
be all right.
Me,
all.
Slow piggy went to market.
Yeah, rub his belly. That'll make him feel better.
Don't touch my belly. Don't touch my belly.
Don't touch his belly. He'll get angry.
Okay.
Touch his ears.
I think that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Let's Hello. Everybody say, hey.
There we go.
Hello. Yeah.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great.
What's that, Apple?
Huh? I said we should introduce ourselves so what? They know who they're talking to.
We should, yeah. This is Aaron, guys. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yay.
Good. And here's Mel.
Yeah, I'm Mel, guys. Aaron's wife and trusty sidekick.
And then Hi. I'm Apple, which I'm Aaron's friend since childhood.
I'm Ryder. I'm the nephew. I kind of just hang out and lurk.
and he is Aaron's nephew. So we're one big family kind of here.
Cool.
Yeah, man. And we're just hanging out, you guys. Thanks for coming on. We're super honored to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for hitting us up.
Yeah, man. So in looking at your guys' Instagram feed and you know, doing what we do, like the research side of this and all that, like, I'm curious about you guys as far as how you two met.
You want to start that one, Alex?
Yeah, like, we met in college, like, at art school in Ohio.
Yeah, we were in the same dorm building.
Okay. Right on.
So, yeah, we just kind of met through, like, just kind of being around the building, and I think just kind of Alex used to come into my room to meet up with my roommates who I didn't care for, and then we ended up just kind of hanging. Like, we met over, like, music and stuff, like, listening to records in my room and, like, some books that I had. Yeah, that's, I mean, pretty much. Then we just had classes together and stuff after that and hung out all the time through college.
So what are those books that kind of bonded you and the music?
It was, like, experimental music, and I had, like, a book of collages, actually. I don't know if you even remember this.
I remember, like, in college, there was, like, I remember me and Elijah both have talked about this before, but, like, we both went to art school, and, like, we had this, like, idea of what art school was going to be, and it was going to be, like, all these kids that were, like, into experimental music and, like, into, like, everything that we were into. And then I got there, and, like, there's, like, all my roommates played World of Warcraft and, like, ran into, like, all this shit that, like, I was just like, damn, yeah, like, these kids are so lame. Which is cool. I mean, World of Warcraft
is cool.
But, like, I'm just, like, saying, like,
we were 18.
I was like, damn, like, I thought I was going to, like, meet other kids that were, like, into, like art. I was, like, really into art and, like, really, really into, like, experimental music and, like, all this shit. And Elijah was, like, the first person I met at college that I was, like, oh, like, damn, you, like, know who Wolf Eyes is and you know who, like, all these, like, Midwest experimental noise musicians are. And so we bonded over, like, that kind of shit. Because we were, like, oh, cool, you know who that is. Like, oh, then you're, like, we immediately knew, like, we were, like, cool, you know?
You're, like, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, because I had, like, I was, like, really, like, not anymore, but I was really into, like, record collecting. And I think, like, that's kind of how it started, is I had, like, a huge, like, pile of records in my dorm room, basically. And, like, Alex just kind of invited himself in and started, like, flipping through them. And we're like, wow. Oh, yeah, this, that. And it was, like, because, like, I had the same thing where I was, like, oh, I'm going to, like, go to college. I'm going to get, like, a sick girlfriend and, like, I'm going to live this artist life. And then I was like, oh no, I'm still a freak. Like, shit. So yeah, we were like the freaks kind of. It was cool.
Yeah,
imagine that shit at 43 years old. Like, I finally, like, figured out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go to art school and I'm going to find out all this bitching shit. And I'm going to, you know, hone my craft and do all this, and I get there and the same fucking thing, like, everybody's playing video games and looking at their phone, and I was like, what the fuck, I'm still trying to fucking figure it out, damn it.
So guys, you might not have met the perfect girl, but you clearly have met each other, which seems like to be the perfect partnership. So how did you guys, like, spark that thing, so you guys become friends with the music and all that? How does the business and the ideas start to, like, form from just something cool we have in common to let's do this shit together?
Well, basically, we were just like, we've told this story a few times, that we separated for a couple years and went and did our own things. And then I came to visit Alex, and we both
in LA,
and we both had turned into, like, ravenous deadheads in the meantime. And that was just like, let's just make lot shirts. We got kind of sick of, like, what other people, there was nothing really that cool going on with the lot shirts. It was like, just like a, you know, like a Buffalo Bills logo and a Steely or something, which is cool. And there's a place for it, but it isn't what we wanted, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like a big part of, like, the reason me and Elijah were attracted to, like, Grateful Dead and, like, everything is, like, we're, like, both artists and, like, visual artists, and, like, there's such a rich history of, like original, like, graphics from the 80s from the lot scene, and, like, that was, like, such a dope part of, like, the culture that I feel like me and Elijah latched to. And, like,
fuck yeah.
And the thing is, like, like, yeah, like as far as like contemporary Lot shirts go, or just contemporary Grateful Dead designs, like Liquid Blue shit, like it just like wasn't ever like, we were never rock that shit. We were like always looking on eBay for like the most gnarly, fucked up, like heady graphics that like looked like total garbage. Like that was like what we were like into. And like, we were like, damn, like we should like, we should like, in the spirit of this, like make our version of this stuff so we can go on Dead & Company tour. We were like really broke at the time, and like we were like, let's like fund a little like tour by like making some shirts. And like that was how it basically started. We like we really wanted to go on, we did a like 5 days of the 2016 summer tour, I think.
You know, you brought up coming together through, you know, you hadn't seen each other for a while, and then when he came to visit, you know, you guys were both into the Dead. How did that happen for each one of you guys? Like, that's not, I don't know, that's not normal nowadays. Like, you don't hear 20-year-old dudes very often finding that and coming together, two guys, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it stems from, like, that kind of, like, this appreciation of music and things that are, like, a little bit deeper. Like, I was, like, I grew up around the Dead. Like, my house was full of it. My stepdad had, like, hundreds of CDs and, like, toured with the Dead. And I hated it because I was, like, a punk kid, you know? And I remember I stole, like, this JGB shirt at one point. And it still, to this day, is, like, my favorite shirt. But I lost it. But I stole it from him. Sorry, Steve. But I took this shirt. And it always kind of stuck with me. And then I started, like, kind of, like, fucking with, like, the concept of, like, mixing this punk and Dead stuff. And I got really into, like, psychedelic hardcore. And I was in bands. And I would put like Steelys on our drum kits and like wear that because it like really bothered people. It bothered like punks a lot. And that's why does this bother them so much? And then basically like through that, I got into the music, and it was like kind of like this all encompassing thing of like noise music and of punk music and of DIY and of like beautiful, like spiritual, all these different things kind of coalesce into the Dead. And it also like feeds into this music nerd aspect that I was into of like record collecting. Like now it's like, what shows can I get? What year do I like? What all of this like factual stuff in this whole world, I think is what made me latch onto it, was like, it's so deep. Like you can go so deep into one band. And I think that's what kind of started. It was almost like this like anti-cool, like I'm going to like, I feel like Alex and I always have been like, kind of like we used to like smell really bad and stuff. We've always kind of wanted to like be these like guys in the corner that are kind of like the nags. And I think that's what drew me to it at first, was like, it was so not at the time. Like the Dead was not when I got into it. And I think the same for you. Like,
I grew up in high school. Like all my friends were really into the Grateful Dead, but I was like really into like I was talking about earlier, like punk and like, mostly like noise music, like really kind of abrasive, like gnarly, like intense, unlistenable music. And like, I feel like I did that. Like it was like part of that was like, I was really into it, but also like, I was like really rebelling against a lot of my friends and like all this, like all my friends were like into like the Grateful Dead and like Jimi Hendrix and bluegrass music and shit. And, when I moved to go to college, like I got deeper into the noise shit. And then after college, like I was kind of jumping all around the country. Like I worked for AmeriCorps. I did all this, like, I was kind of like just like traveling for a while. And in that time, I reacquainted with the Dead, and it like was really nostalgic. Like it reminded me of like high school and being with my old friends. And like, I really missed that. So like, I kind of found this like refuge in the Dead and Jerry. And it kind of just like, it kind of kept me through some like hard times, like when I was like out by myself, like, or just like, you know, like I had not very much money for a long time, and like was just like living on my friends' couches or shit and like looking for jobs. And like, it was just like kind of a rough, it was a beautiful time, but it was also like a hard time. And, and all of through that, like, you know, like everybody, like, I feel like the Grateful Dead, like, gets people through like rough times, I feel like. And that's like why people, you know, it got me through, like, it wasn't like a horrible time, but it was just like, you know, it was like I was figuring my shit out. And at the end of the day, like when I didn't have anybody to talk to about like what I was going through, I just like, I'd put on the Grateful Dead and it would like calm me down and it would it would make me feel better about things, you know. And that was like, you know, right around the time when Elijah came to visit, I was kind of peaking. And that was right when Fare Thee Well was getting announced and all this shit.
Oh,
and
there
was
shit.
Resurgence of the Dead. And it was totally like, I did get into the Dead because like no one was really into it. Like that was a part of like, I feel like deep down, like there was this like rebellion against everyone. Like I was like, I'm going to listen to the Grateful Dead because like everybody thinks this shit sucks. So like, or like at least all my friends did.
Yeah, like we wanted everybody, to suck.
Everybody like, I mean, in our culture, like our punk friends, our scene, like the Dead was not cool. And like that was like, I was kind of like, you know, like I'm gonna fuck with this shit. Like this is different. Like I like actually like this shit. And like I don't know, right? The deeper and deeper you go into it, the more like magical it gets. And like Elijah was talking about, is like I feel like there's this ancient like concept of like going like into a spiritual practice, like going like you can't like mix all these different spiritual practices. Like you can't like if you're gonna dig for water like in a well, like you have to like go deep into one, like you have to dig deep into one space or like one well. And like I feel like that's like the Dead for us. Like we like blocked out every other kind of music. Like we just blocked out like every other kind of music, and we're just gonna go deep into the Grateful Dead. And like that's like all we listen to, that's all we talk about, and that's like really all we care about is like the Grateful Dead. I mean we care about other things, but like as far as music goes, like we don't give a shit. I don't think about any other kind of music.
That's not true.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess,
but I was also kind of
always listening to the Dead.
Because like when I showed up, we both like quit cigarettes and like vaping nicotine. So we were like this duo that's just like vaping all the time and like into the Dead, and it's like very off-putting. And we thought it was funny. We think things are funny too. You know, we get it.
Yeah, like, I get it.
It sounds a lot like you guys are doing like or taking like shit and then making it cool. And it's a fucking rad thing to do what you guys are doing. Like I really want to go back to what you said earlier, like you guys are like the stinky kids like in the corner that nobody would talk to. But you know what, I pay attention to those people that are like, you know, maybe they've got like weird skin problems or maybe like they're fucking greasy. And it's I always those people are like so invisible that they pay attention to fucking everything.
Those are geniuses.
Yeah.
So they've got this amazing perspective of life that no one else gets to see because everybody else is wrapped up in each other. But the fucking guy on the side or the weird girl on the side, they've got like this huge fucking, you know, vista. And I just want to commend you guys for embracing that shit and turning weird shit into something fucking $160 hoodie. That's fucking outrageous and rad.
I mean,
dude,
yeah, like,
fuck yeah.
Thank you. I mean, like, that's like, those are the data collectors. You know, those people are the ones that are like, they're in the watchtower. Like, they're learning when everyone else is worried about the bullshit, I guess. Like,
yeah, no, you're 100%. Yeah, dude, I relate so much with what you guys are saying because I was into the punk scene in the 80s. And when I found the Grateful Dead, like you guys, it was the same back then. Like, talking to you, I realized like the more things change, the more they fucking stay the same. Like back then, the Dead was huge back then, and it just wasn't fucking cool, man. Like, you're gonna listen to that hippie shit, man. You're gonna listen to that country fucking music, whatever. And after going to that first show and what happened and coming out of it, like I was a pariah to my fucking friends.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to have any fucking thing to do with me. I had to figure it out.
Me and him for the only time in our lives didn't talk but I didn't understand what happened to my friend. I was still into that old music scene. He's like, dude, the Grateful Dead. And it took him 2 years to finally get me to a live show. And then I was like, oh wow. Fuck, my world just changed.
Yeah, so you're fucking lucky, man. Like that's the universe at work again with like putting you guys together and making sure that you had a homie to roll with to figure this shit out, because it's fucking, when you wake up to that, I hate to use that metaphor, but whatever, like when you get turned on to the Dead, and there's a lot to it, like you said, that's a fucking rabbit hole.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I feel like the other thing like that, like where we've talked about before, is like we just got like insanely lucky with timing, because like the Dead was cool basically for the first time like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
all of a sudden, just like that, right when we started doing this, like the Dead became cool, and like all these like people that are high up are like they're like people that have like really kind of helped us out are like Will Welsh from GQ. He's a huge Deadhead. Like that dude, right. he's the editor in chief of GQ, and he's like a massive Deadhead. And like now all these Deadheads that are like, I feel like kind of like have kind of like a say in the fashion world or like are involved and stuff are like kind of coming out and kind of being like, yeah, dude, like the Deadhead, like the Dead is amazing. like our friend David Kordansky, who's like a gallerist in LA, and he's like just like super open now about how much he like loves. I mean, I think he was always open about that, but like, I don't know, like, there's just all these people that like are that kind of popped up that are kind of like have been really influential in our growth, and like they're right. all just like rabid Deadheads, and it's kind of been like this support that thing that's kind of appeared. Dude, I don't know.
Like, it all became okay.
Like
again.
I feel like every you guys know just as much as we do. Like it's like just all like I just people just realize that it's amazing. I think everybody just realized that like oh like. This music's amazing.
And
like,
I don't give a
it's undeniably like amazing. Like you can't not listen to like the recordings and just like be completely like moved.
Like I'm sorry, like if you can't like listen to Comes a Time, Europe 72 Comes a Time, and if that doesn't move you, you're like genetically broken.
Like
there's
altered. Something
like wrong with you.
Yeah, there's or like even yeah, like Broke Down Palace. You're like
Stella
like,
Blue.
So many like incredible. Yeah dude, like man. There's like it's like yeah, no, for sure. It's like absolutely.
You know,
I don't even think that's the question. I think we just babbled about the Dead for like 5 minutes.
It's fine. Yeah. This
exactly
is what we do,
what
man.
We do. You guys,
this is our bag.
This is not GQ, okay? This isn't yeah. like question response. This is like we want to fucking talk because honestly, like in the middle of the podcast just now, Apple gave me that GQ interview that you guys were doing and talking about the whole stoner thing, like. Okay, so we have a teenager and we live in Portland, okay? And so we're dealing with all of the things in his like high school and being with teens about like drugs and marijuana, all this shit, and then we're doing this podcast on top of it. So yeah. We are in a completely hard conflicting time, and you know, to be honest, I started smoking weed when I was 23. I wasn't a teenager. I wasn't doing that shit. I did it a little bit more consciously. So
yeah,
I just want to know where you guys are at, just like period, not like you don't got to tell me any deep personal shit, but like where is your head at with that, cuz I'm really interested in that. You guys are young guys, super fucking forward thinking. Where's your head with that?
I might take that one. It's actually really funny because
I'll also take that one.
Yeah, we'll both take this one because I think we have
go for it, man.
We have very different drug experiences. My mom, who is like my best friend, we're very open. We talk about everything every day. She's a drug and alcohol counselor. And my stepdad growing up, who was also a Deadhead, was in AA and NA and recovering addict. Wharf rat. So I never really smoked weed. I wasn't around it. It wasn't cool. My Deadhead friend did all the time, who built his own didgeridoo in like middle school and shit.
That's fucking cool.
But so I actually didn't smoke weed until I was 19. And my roommate at the time, who was the singer in my band I was in, was like, here, man, just finally just rip a bong. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, let me do this. And then I actually had a copy of American Beauty. I was like, I'm going to listen to Dead while I'm stoned because this is what you're supposed to do. And
that's
I did.
Awesome.
And it helped
that's
everything
good parenting
kind of
right
out.
There.
And it
I like that.
More. But as far as like every day, do I think like some of the experiences in my life have been beneficial? Like, yeah. But like, I still like, you know, I smoke weed every now and then, but like more so because people just kind of give it to us. I don't really go out. I like to drink wine, but I don't really go out of my way to like seek after drugs and stuff personally, or not that marijuana is a drug in my mind, but you know what I mean?
I get what
really,
you're saying.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's not
yeah.
a huge part of my life anymore. Yeah. Alex.
I started smoking weed when I was like 12 years old and I smoked a lot of weed for a really long time. And I smoked weed up until like, I was like 25, probably. I'm 28 now. And, I like basically just got too spun. Like cause I eat like a ton of psychedelics I still eat psychedelics. Like I still eat LSD. Like I eat mushrooms, acid. I smoke DMT like often. Like I'm like very much into like
psychedelic exploration, and it's a big part of my yoga. I consider it like a part of my yoga practice. But like,
wow, yeah,
I pretty much like every Dead show I eat acid. Like every Dead and Company show I go to, I eat a little bit of L, like at the very least. But like,
does it help you with your designs?
What'd you say?
Does it help you with your design?
Just influence them, I should say.
Of course, yeah.
For sure. I mean, I feel like that, we could talk about psychedelics. I could talk about psychedelics for hours, but like, I feel like that they've I don't know. Like, it's a trippy subject, but like, I feel
I want you to feel comfortable to say whatever you want to say, but
basically a lot of the psychedelic usage has like been like really influential, obviously, like in like my, like what I bring to the table to online ceramics, it's led me to, I do yoga every morning, like for 2 hours. I do this, it's called Ashtanga, and I have like an incredible teacher in LA, and I like, that's a part of my sadhana. I've done like yoga teacher training. Like I've read like the Yoga Sutras. Like me and my girlfriend are like really deep into like our spiritual sadhana, and like that is like, obviously I feel like pretty, like, so like one thing is, I think like online ceramics like promotes these like really positive, like optimistic, like really important like values of ways to, like, I don't know, like we, I feel like we try to preach this like this positive attitude, you know, and we try to like bring, not only with like the Grateful Dead like mythology, but like we bring in like our aspect, which is this like live your light kind of thing. And like that's something that like I feel like we're both like actively doing, and like I specifically like, I like every morning, like every day, like I'm like actively practicing spiritually. So it's not like we're just like saying J-Ma or like you know, like just because like we're like actually like, I mean, I'm practicing spiritually, like doing my best to like to actually try to be the best I can like every day. And psychedelics like were that gateway. Like for me, like the first time I ever did LSD, I was like Ram Dass talks about, like, oh, I've been had. Like everything that I ever thought was like whatever, you know, like you like were like, oh, like shit, like there's way more going on here. And then that was the first time I feel like I experienced like Christ Darshan, where like I was like, I felt like universal love like encompass my whole being. And I realized like, oh, like this is really special, like life being in a body, like this is a really important time to like to really take advantage of like what tools we have. And like one of my tools is like I have like a visual language that I can share with people. And like I feel like online ceramics is a part of my, like, is really kind of a part of my sadhana, and is a part of my practice to like share these things with the world and to influence people to like go out and try kirtan or try mantra or try, you know, maybe ever like go to a yoga class and like maybe open up to like these spiritual practices that can lead you to like becoming like a little bit of a, like a more conscious and aware person, or like,
yeah.
But also like, I mean, I kind of do like a lot of the actual like illustrations for the shirts, and
right,
all influenced by that world. Like, I don't like do psychedelics and then like try to think of visions for the shirts. I'm usually like pounding coffee at like 7 a.m, like, yeah, manic, yeah, state, yeah, is usually where those kind of really psycho designs come from, is like over caffeination and like nicotine probably.
Yeah.
Right on.
You know, it's funny you talk about psychedelics, and the thing that came to mind when you guys started describing yourselves, you guys are like the punk rock Grateful Dead version of the Odd Couple in a lot of ways, like,
you know, some ways
it's, yeah, and for those of us that are on the other side of it, like seeing your stuff and that have had similar experiences, those psychedelic journeys that you take and the energy that you're building in yourself through your sadhana and through your practice is infused in the design and sent out into the world. to do whatever job that you've given it to do. And those of us that are out here that are conscious and can see that other side of stuff can feel it when we look at those designs and can pick up on it. I just from going through your Instagram feed, for me personally, I felt like I knew a part of you guys that you, it's almost like hidden in plain sight kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like a secret part of yourself that you lay out there that not everybody can see, and it's infused in those designs, and it comes through. And I think for you, Elijah, like, you know, you said you don't do psychedelics and stuff, but half of you does.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying by that? Like, the other half of the partnership is there.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of what Online Ceramics is, and we've tried to be very true to that as we become like a quote unquote brand, is Online Ceramics is our friendship, you know, and aww,
that's beautiful.
It's our communication.
That's really cool, you guys.
Yeah. And I mean, like I've definitely done stuff in the past. I've done psychedelics. I've actually never done acid. I've done mushrooms.
Right.
But it's not necessarily in my mind what is informing everything, but what is informing it is like, this, whether it's actually said out loud or it's just like kind of psychically communicated between the two of us through like 10 years of being really, really great friends, is like we've really tried to maintain this thing where it's like we're not a brand, we are friends. Like we're not staging shit. Like this is what we truly believe in, you know, and this is what we want to say, and this is our friendship,
and
how we talk to each other. Yeah, thank you. I think that's really wonderful to hear, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we made this. Like we did this shit for like the real heads. Like this is like the shit's like for the, and it's just dope that like people that maybe weren't ever into this shit are finding out about us and we're getting them into it. You know, that's just been like so. That's been like so dope to like
bonus
see. And like we recently got like some like DMs that were like so fucking amazing. Where like someone, like I have like I designed the website and I added a couple links on our website about like how like small organic farms in America are basically dying and like aww, we need to like do shit about that. And like my girlfriend works for this amazing company called Local Harvest, and I have it like I have the link just like directly on our website, like just in plain sight, like right next to like everything else, and just as big as like this link for Local Harvest. And then right under that is like my favorite yoga studio in LA, and like people like have been DMing us like being like, dude, I went to Monday Night Kirtan and it was amazing. And then like some other person was like I started like I'm recently unemployed, and now like I'm like in my meantime, like in my off time, I've been gardening at like a local like
through the link that we posted, which is so fun.
Yeah, like they found a farm through the link that we posted that they're like volunteering at, which is like we've been like just so pumped to hear that like people are like finding out about like this stuff through us. It's just like we couldn't ever, I don't know, it's
cool,
really
any
so
other
sick.
It's like so like amazing. It's like, and like not to go back to my mom, but like I said, we are tight. Like she's recently had like a couple students, I guess, that were like super inspired just even visually by what we're doing or the story of it, because we're from small town Ohio. So I think it's like that is what really like kind of gets us off, you know, is like these really beautiful sweet moments of people just actually appreciating what we're saying, not just what it looks like. And that's super special.
Isn't it a trip to realize
really
that isn't it
go
a
ahead
trip to realize that you guys have like, you started this thing and then you realize that you have a fucking, a voice and a platform to actually affect change out in the world. And the energy of what you're doing is like rippling out and grabbing people and pulling them. And it just all by itself, like it's doing it on its own after you put it out there. Isn't that crazy?
It's mind blowing. Like I'm not going to say we don't think highly of ourselves, but we definitely respect ourselves, but I don't think we see ourselves as like important. So it's really fucking cool and amazing and special that that's what's happening. Like, it's so much bigger than us. And that's like sick. It's sick. It's really sick.
Yeah.
That's magic.
I feel like
if you would ask,
really,
no, go ahead.
I was just going to say like, now that we see that that's like happening and people are being like kind of attracted to what we're doing, like we're really, like we were saying, like we're trying to like spread, we're, it's like a kind of like a responsibility in our opinion to like, to be examples, you know. And like other thing is like in the fashion world and stuff, it's like so, it's a lot of like toxic like waste created and a lot of like,
yeah,
there's just like the, it's like an industry, like people don't need more t-shirts basically, like no one needs another
say that
like,
no, that's true.
No one actually at the end of the day needs
I know what you mean, Alex,
at the end of the day. And like it's just like we are trying to like basically promote things that like we only hire our friends, like we keep it in the family, like we try to like basically like run our business as consciously as possible. Like
we helped a kid graduate high school. My like, little buddy, like, Nikki.
Yeah.
That's badass.
He flew out. So like we, as a company, we want to do so much more, like kind of what you guys were saying, where it's like these ripple effects. Like if we can do that at the end of the day, if like we had like a 2 or 3 year trip of like trying to be better people and better the world around us, then like that is so fucking cool.
I think that you're literally in the act of doing it right now. Like right now, you guys are, I'm blown away and I feel like super emotional because it's rainy here and there's all like, I'm just, I love what you guys are doing. And Alex, you know, I don't talk about it a lot on the show, but like yoga's very close to my heart. I practice yoga in almost everything that I do. And, I know what kind of consciousness that brings up. And then when you couple them with cannabis or psychedelics, it enhances those experiences when you're in your pranayama or meditation practice. So I can only imagine what that type of consciousness infuses in your creative reality. And you guys are just... like I think you're very important people, not necessarily like I don't know, I just like if I was your mom I would think you're important. I don't even know you and I think you guys are important.
Thank you so much.
And
very sweet.
And they're doing it at an important time, man. Right now, this world we live in, what you guys are doing is very, it's very needed.
Teaching and people to be nice to each other, that's kindness. Fucking rad.
That's it. Yeah. That's all we need. Like, not all we need, but like, if that was base level, what was going down in the world, like, if kind, like our first shirt was My Religion is Kindness, you know, like,
yeah, and
if that is base level.
Dude, yeah, it's like, at the end of the day, like, the most crazy thing to think about, like, we don't have to have, like, jobs. Like, all we really have to do is, like, take care of Mother Earth. Like, we just need to tend to the land and, like, we could be, like, if we were like, if everyone, like, obviously this is like my ideal, like hippie, like coming out, but like really at the end of the day, like straight up, like everything is perfect. Like we could just stop, like we could stop today, like go into the woods and just like start tending to the land and like reclaiming the soil and like live together in harmony. Like, and that, and it's like done, like we're done. It's over. Like, that's all we have to do. Like, we don't have to like ever drive a car again. We don't have to like ever do, like, we, all we have to do is just go out and like tend to the land and that's it.
Yeah. And that's like something that like is also, I think, kind of sneaking into like in the way that Alex has his practice, like it's something I don't talk about often, but like I've been vegan for 13 years and that's like kind of like one of my practices, you know? And I truly believe that if everyone just ate and was conscious of the kindness of what they're ingesting, then the world too, not only like food resource wise, but like mentally and aggression, like there's a lot of aggression in the food industry. And I think if we got rid of that aggression and that kind of mindset that we are important, that we could really change a lot. So that's kind of sneaking into some of our language too, is like this pro food, pro land, pro animal, pro earth kind of thing that is super important right now.
Ahimsa.
You know, I had a thought. Oh, go ahead.
The first limb of the nonviolence, basically, just like what Gandhi practices. The first limb of the 8 limbs of yoga is ahimsa.
But go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, that's basically being vegan is practicing ahimsa.
Yeah, and you know what? Something else too is like, it may seem unimportant on the outside, but doing what we're doing right now, having conversation and talking together and coming together this way is healing to the rest of the world, because at some point this is going to go out and other people are going to hear it. It's going to, the vibrations are going to come out of their speakers and go into their ears and create change inside their minds and in their brains. And
which in turn comes out of their bodies.
Yeah. And out of their mouth. And it's this huge circle that's happening. And so nothing is small and nothing is unimportant as we do our work and do our thing. I think the key to all of it is finding who you are in the center of all the other stuff and finding what you're passionate about and then moving forward with that and doing it consciously and with intention and meaning. And then in this world of disconnection, where there's this huge illusion right now, if you think about it, with technology, that we're all so connected, but we're all sitting in these boxes, staring at screens, having this illusion of connection. And people will go through a whole week without really talking to somebody and finding out about them. So when we sit down and do something like we're doing right now, that's sending those ripples out too, you guys.
Yeah, and thank you for giving us that platform. Like, thank you for, in this, I mean, this has been a wonderful conversation so far. So thank you guys for being open.
Yeah, I'm having a blast. Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about, you guys were saying how great it is that people are like, you know, taking that Kirtan class or getting involved in that garden. Like, so on our end, we've had these amazing people write us these letters that are like damn near tear jerking and, you know, from around the country, around the world, and just saying that conversations like exactly what we're doing with you guys, like, are helping people get through their day or has changed something about how they think. So your guys is that whatever beautiful thing you guys are having in your heart that are sharing with us, we're going to share it with our people, and just know that this is a great, like, I just feel really good about this conversation. Yeah. I feel really good about you guys.
Thank you. Likewise. I've listened to you guys in the past too. I work from home a lot, so I've listened to a few episodes and I've enjoyed it.
So when did you get on the bus?
Yeah. Was it because Justin reached out to you guys that you started listening, or did you hear some other way?
No. I heard the OTL one.
Oh, right on.
And yeah, I think the one with Jeremy I listened to as well.
So Jeremy Dean. That's something I wanted to touch on with you guys too, man, was like, so my first Dead show was in 1989 in February in LA.
The year
Forum.
I was born.
Right on.
Oh,
right on, man. And one of the things that attracted me to the Dead before the music was the art. Like you said, there was something to it. And when I would trip, it would come alive in a way that other art didn't. But as I got older and when Jerry passed and then, you know, everything that's happened since, like the aesthetic of the scene art didn't change. Lot shirts didn't change. It's like you said, Liquid Blue, there's nothing wrong with it, man. I think I have a couple in my closet right now. Yeah, but it didn't change. There was no upgrade, nothing happened. And you guys like you and Jeremy and Art, single-handedly changing the aesthetic for the mass. And is it just coming from that place of like putting together the punk rock side of things with where you're at now? Was that the original intent?
I mean, I could probably lead that one. I was kind of like the flyer dude, like in Ohio for a long time, like through my teens. I started making shirts and posters for bands when I was like 12. And I think I just kind of learned this way of making that I can't really break anymore. It's kind of like my hand, you know? So when I take a skeleton, it looks like an Elijah skeleton, no matter what I do to it. Like, I can't help it. It's the way I sing, you know? And I think just my visual resources and like the history, while applying it to the Kellys and the Mouses and the Ed Donahues and all that, it has its own voice and it sings its own song now, but it's still pulling from, like, you know, there's still a Roses and a Skeletons. And I think it's really cool. And I think we have to credit Mayer a lot for that and kind of embracing this change and embracing that it is kind of a new band. Dead & Company is not the Grateful Dead. The imagery doesn't have to be the Grateful Dead. It can be its own thing. And I think they kind of said that out the gate with those Costas posters for the first two shows on Halloween.
Yep.
Like, I remember seeing that and I was like, oh my God, like, this is like basically the Grateful Dead, but it doesn't really look like it. And that is really, really nice, man. It made me so happy.
It felt good,
and it's like,
right?
Yeah. And it's like, this is what the lot shirts looked like. I bought, like, right when we started, I bought this shirt and it was like, it said like, this must be heaven. And this like lady's family drew it. And it was so crude and scary. And Jerry was like the moon. And there's like a skeleton floating through space. And I was like, this is like what it needs to look like. It needs to look a little bit wrong. And it needs to be a little bit scary because, you know, that's what's so cool about the dead is like, I was scared of it growing up, all the skeletons in my house, like, but we had bears too. And like turtles, and there was a terrapin throw rug on the couch, you know, but it was like, why is this stuff's kind of scary? It's kind of intimidating. And then you go to the lot and it's kind of scary and intimidating, but then you find out it's like the most beautiful thing in the whole world. So I think that's kind of like where that aesthetic comes from is like, the Grateful Dead wasn't always sunshine and rainbows, you know, it was kind of dark music. Man. It was about death. And like, we still put like a cartoon flower with a smiley face on it because like that's there too, you know?
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's maybe – it's really cool. I mean, I can't ever picture ourselves codified in the way that Mouse and Kelly or any of these people are, but it's really special to kind of catch these little glimpses of, wow, like we are that active in it too, and that's a really fucking amazing, beautiful position to be in, you know?
From an outside perspective, though, man, like it's hard to see something when you're on the inside of it. I know that from doing this show. Yeah. It's tough. It's really tough. But like, I'll be honest, it's fucking refreshing to see it happening. And I don't think it's just like a flash in the pan kind of thing. What I said, I mean it. Like, I've been into this. This is me. Like, the Grateful Dead is part of my DNA. It's who I am on a lot of levels, man. And seeing it change, it's changing, and it's because of you guys. Like, it's that simple. That's pretty gnarly. It's a single-handed thing, and it's fucking rad. And I'm just saying, like, if I could speak for everybody else, which fuck it, I'm here, I might as well. Like, thanks, man. You know, fuck, it's about time, and we need it. And to see you guys bringing elements of magic
and yoga
and witchcraft and paganism and all that shit,
and cuteness
and fucking cute shit too, like all of it, because that's all of us. That's when I got into the Grateful Dead, man. Like, all that shit became alive for me. Magic became something that was real, you know what I mean? And and for that to not reflect in the thing of the art, well, fuck, we're missing something.
Yeah, it needs that spirit. Like, I collect, like, I don't do magic. I don't practice magic, but I sure do have, like, a lot of weird books about it. That's, like, one of my favorite things is, like, just magic books and reading. I have, like, a really sick, kind of a little bit of a funny digression, but I found, like, a teen witch book, and it's all about, like, picking up boys and, like, how to, like, cast away bullies on the internet. And, like, so sometimes for, like, our shirts, I, like, kind of come from that. It's, like, magic doesn't have to be scary or dark or evil, like, magic can be a teenage girl, like, finding a crush, you know? Magic can be a sick terrapin, like the one in Orlando when, like, we lost our fucking minds. Like, magic is there, and it's important. And the Grateful Dead is not, at the end of the day, it is not a brand new Volkswagen bus that, like, you put a sticker on it. It's, like, not. It's, like, so much deeper.
It's fucking broke down on the side of the road sometimes, man.
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah. It's a fucking...
It's a jalopy.
It's a big jalopy.
Dude, that's so good.
I tell you a fucking
funny
story. We
always talk about our business. Like, we're always trying to, like every day, I swear to God, we, like, we're always joking, but for real, like, we're always trying to keep our jalopy from just, like, puttering into a tree. Like, every day, it's so fucking, like, and, like, just, like, you know, trying to navigate running a business, which, like, me and Elijah are, like, the worst candidates to, like, be running a business, and we are running a business, and it's just, like, every day, we're just, like, fuck. Like, we actually need, like, a business advisor or someone.
And an emergency break.
Yeah, we need, like, we just need to, like, learn how to run and operate a real business. Like,
that's fucking
it's getting
funny,
out
man.
Of hand.
That's like anyway. Me and Apple, like, back in the day, I built this VW van. It's all beat up. And we're like, we're going to go see Jerry at Shoreline. We get in the van. We're fucking driving from Las Vegas. And we get on the road. We're just far enough away where we're out in the middle of the fucking desert and the thing breaks down and we're standing on the side of the road and we both get out and we danced around the van. We're casting the demons out of the van. I went and started it up and we made it to the show.
It fucking worked. It fucking worked.
So that's what you're doing with your fucking business, man. Cast the demons out and keep on trucking. Fuck it.
Yeah. We had, Alex wasn't in the car with me, but I was with my friend from Ohio who flew out to tour with us. And he's in his 40s and he's a mechanic. And he forgot to put gas in the car. And it died. He fucking, like, the most basic part of a car. Like, he's a mechanic. He knows how to build the things. And we run out of gas, like, in the middle of, like, outside of San Francisco on, like, a 6-lane freeway. And I have to, like, frogger my way and walk, like, 2 miles while he sat in the car and ate chips. And then there was, like, a comedic thing where, like, this, like, beautiful, like, this car full of beautiful girls pulls up. And he's like, "You need a ride?" And I'm like, "No, I'm cool." And just keep walking. I'm like, "Wait, why did I do that?" And then we
total
also,
dumb and dumber moment.
Yeah, it was a dumb and dumber moment.
So, you said something a minute ago, and I'll be beat up by everybody that listens to this show if I don't ask about it. So I'm doing it. You said Mayor has been instrumental in helping you guys out. How did that fucking come about, man?
Basically, I think he just we were making the lot shirts, and then the guy Mason from the lot sent him or gave him some of the shirts, and then that's how he found out about us. And then he reached out to us on Instagram, and then we met him, and we were like a cool synergy. And like from there, like we kept in contact and have just like kind of maintain this like and check in on each other, you know.
And actually he, and this is another moment that I kind of like, you know, didn't want to feel too self-important or like overthink it, but he also said like he's gonna do this for life, we're gonna do this for life, so we might as well all get used to each other because it's not gonna stop, you know. So we might as well embrace
shit.
Each other.
Hell
so,
yeah.
That is
yeah.
deep. And,
what does that fucking feel like to hear that, man? Like, all right, dude, you're on the fucking bus and this shit's happening. Let's go.
That's basically how it is. And I don't think we've looked back. You know, it's like the jalopy's got the pedal to the metal now, dude. Like, I don't know. Like,
fuck it.
That just is what it is, man. And it's really, really special and beautiful. And we love it. It's great. It's exciting. And hopefully we can't do this until we fucking croak. I would love to.
Till the wheels fall off.
Till the wheels fall off. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about like having a platform and what you do with it. So what's the plan, guys? What's the grand scheme? Is there one? Or are you just gonna fucking keep rolling, see what happens?
Keep on trucking.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I think like we're just gonna keep, I mean, obviously, like, the dead is what brought us together, and that's the foundation. I mean, essentially, the foundation for Online Ceramics is this, like, mythology of the dead and enveloped in that. But I feel like we've kind of touched in on other things throughout this conversation that kind of show you that it's not all the dead. And I think, like, it's kind of expanding into other realms. And I think me and Elijah have a lot more to say, you know, and I beyond just t-shirts, like me and Elijah are artists at heart, and we've happened to fall into this position where we're making t-shirts and they're selling and it's fucking dope. But like we're also really interested in when we have time to like make art together. And something that's really, really exciting for us is like at some point in the next couple months, we're going to build the sculpture for this like project in New York that like we're really excited to do. And we've got some like pretty cool plans coming up in the next 6 months or so.
The way I think about it is you don't enter a friendship and be like, okay, what's our 5-year plan for our friendship? You don't fucking do that, man. You just friends. Yeah. And we're just friends.
Let's
and that's gonna grow
that
the
is awesome. I love that, Elijah. That was really a cool way of describing it. Fuck it.
Yeah,
we're just friends. I don't know.
We don't have a business plan. Fuck that.
I love that.
That's badass. I like hearing that. You know, for what it's worth, you guys, man, after talking to you, like, I could feel the two of you out there, and it's so rad.
And you deserve every dollar that you get from each one of those fucking expensive ass shirts that you guys
have. So, So check it out, man. I don't know for what this is worth. This show, you know, it's growing. Like, it's the same thing that's happening to you guys is happening to us as far as like the way that it's going. When we started doing this, this was just me telling my story, how I got turned on to the Grateful Dead. And then, you know, 6 months later, I'm talking to O'Teal and going, what the fuck is happening? But if you guys ever need a place to like say something or to come on and promote something or any of it, like you can look at this as home for you guys.
Yeah, dude, you guys are based in Portland, right?
Yeah.
Dude, we should come in when on tour, because we're going to be up there. We should just come hang out.
Yeah,
and we could do another episode.
Physically on the porch.
Okay, check it out. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to do the Gorge and Eugene?
Yeah. We're going to have the best. Right. We're going to have the full fucking team. It's going to be psycho.
Yeah, it's going to be so
We'll have fun. Everyone. We'll just
we'll
all
bring a crew.
We'll bring the whole crew. It's going to be
bring
insane.
Bring the fucking crew.
All right. Yeah. So you have a place to stay. How's that?
Awesome. Very sweet. Thank you so much.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
And I wanted to say something too, man. Just talking to you guys reminds me a whole lot of mine and Aaron's friendship. You know, he's 46. I'm going on 49 in May. And to listen to you guys, it reminds me a lot of us. And one thing that me and Aaron do, that there's a lot more deadheads, older heads doing it, because when we found them in the late 80s, early 90s, we were your guys' age, younger. Yeah. And we kind of got that outcast kind of thing from the older heads. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing now is the people our age, man, we invite you guys with open arms. It is so cool to see all these 20 somethings and late teens getting into the Dead and keeping this alive. And like you said, you recognize immediately, this is not the Grateful Dead. This is Dead and Company. This is a different thing. John Mayer, there's so much being brought to this magic that's happening. And now like that, just to hear you guys are going to be coming on tour, coming up this way, we're going to get to meet you, man. It makes my heart like full. It's great. Thank you for what you guys do.
Aww, so cool.
Thank you. You guys.
Yeah. Mel said we
wouldn't
a date.
Exist. We wouldn't exist if it weren't for you all, you know, like this wouldn't be a thing. And like, thank you. And like, it's just as important for people our age to respect everyone there, you know, like when I see like people our age that aren't respecting the show, like we try and kind of check them a little bit, not to be assholes, but like, you're not there to talk. We're there to experience it and like share it. So we should all just share it together. I actually had this really sick moment where this woman brought her daughter, because the daughter was into John, and the mom was like, "Who is this?" And I was like, "It's like basically the Grateful Dead." She's like, "What?" She's like, I was like, "The 60s? She's like, "Yeah, I like Janis Joplin." And I was like, "The original keyboard player dated her, kind of." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And she didn't really care. She didn't care. And by the end of it, she was like losing her mind dancing. And it was like one of the coolest like generational.
That is so
her daughter
fucking
informed
rad.
Her of the day. It was so cool.
And the wheel turns, man. Fuck yeah. I love it.
I want to ask a question too. I'm just dying to know this, because to me it's awesome. I look back at your guys' Instagram, and what was it, like in November, you guys are sitting on the couch with Bobby. I was just wondering how that like came about, what that experience was like.
It was after the Boston show on the November tour?
Yeah, the fall.
The fall tour. We were at the Boston shows. And Mayer just hit us up and said to meet us at the Four Seasons bar after the show.
So we had some shirts together.
Yeah, we met him, and he didn't tell us that like the whole band was going to be there.
Right.
And, like, oh shit.
Yeah. So like the whole band was like hanging out. So we got to meet everyone. It was really surreal and amazing. And it was a special moment.
And they like totally like welcomed us, like.
Yeah.
Bill talked to Alex about scuba diving, and Bob just came and sat beside me, and I was like, "Hey man, it was a good show." He's like, "Yeah, I think we're finally starting to get good." And it's like, "Oh my god, dude." Like it was so much more special than that. It didn't feel like, I mean, definitely we were fanning out, like deep down, we were freaking. Yeah. But it never felt that way. And we also like brought our friends with us, because we didn't understand. So we have a crew of like six people, and it's like so goofy, but it was really special. It was really special.
That's awesome. I mean, then that's a big, you know, like pat on the back. I mean, obviously John saw how cool you guys were and like figured, hey man, they need to meet everybody.
He introduced you to the family.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really, really amazing.
So
yeah.
So here's the deal. When tour gets closer, let's stay in touch until then. And, you know, like I said, you got a place to stay and we'll go hit the shows together. And I think, I don't think we're going to have a spot in the lot in Eugene where we're going to do a live show. Maybe we can do another bit there and
yeah. just
fucking hang out and have a good time.
Absolutely.
Man.
We'll be set up too. Yeah, let's set up next to each other. Let's find each other. Let's take it.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, deal. Done deal. All right, you guys.
Dude, we'll bribe the door dude at the lot together.
Or I'll talk to him and you just sneak in behind him.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, I don't know. Dude, if they listen to us.
That's my favorite part is like just completely not even looking and just.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Right on. We just don't even look. We're just like deep driving. Like we just keep driving.
I didn't see you. I didn't hear you, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Just get out of the car.
Dude, this one kid, last little anecdote was like, there was this little kid, like, I think he was probably like 16 at Shoreline. And we're like, he's like, can't get until 2. And we're like, all right. We come back and he's like, can't get until 4. We're like, how about we give you $20 and we just come in right now? And he's like, no. And he finally let us in. And then we saw him later and the kid had like a fucking like baseball size wad of cash in his hand from letting people in. Really. Oh, it was really funny.
Dude, I remember.
I was a valet for years and that's exactly what we do. Oh, no, we're full. $20? Oh, we just found a spot available.
Yeah, it was really funny. He was like, yeah, we can't let you in. I was driving. I was like, what if we just, no, I remember exactly. No, this is what happened. He was like, we can't let you in right now. And I was like, well, is it cool if we just come in right now then? He was like, okay.
It's a Jedi mind trick. Yeah, total Jedi mind trick.
It was like Inception. It was Inception. Yeah, it was really good.
I have an idea. I'll let you guys in now. Yeah.
That's
it. It was
I like literally just was like, how about we just come in right now. It was dope. It was funny.
That's great.
I can't wait to hang out with you guys in person, man. We're gonna have a good time.
Sounds great.
We're gonna have a fucking good time.
This has been great talking to you guys. Yeah. We could sit here and talk like the rest of the day, man.
Seriously.
There's so many subjects. Like when you just brought up Shoreline, just talking about going to a show at Shoreline.
Was it the Shoreline
for
last
when we meet.
Yeah, we can ramble about the
good. More rambling to come.
Hey,
fuck
but you guys are in LA, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Aaron and I are gonna be in LA in a couple weeks. Maybe we can hit each other up then. I know we're gonna
studio.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So
whatever.
Fuck
well,
yeah.
Our daughter, she's in the design industry and she's a model and an actress and stuff. And so I know we're going to have this cool party when we're there. So I would love to have you guys there. And it's at the end of the month. So we'll be in touch. But I just wanted to throw that out there because I really, really would love to meet you guys.
Yeah. And have you meet our daughter and her whole weird crew of folks
would love
that are out there, too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Right on, you guys.
Would love to do that.
Sweet. Enjoy the rest of your day, man, and I will send you whatever information you need to be able to find us when we get closer to tour. And just so that everybody out there knows, why don't you tell them the information stuff to where to find you?
Well, we are only going to be visiting the East Coast shows. We're going to fly in and just check out a couple, but we will be doing the full West Coast leg, full setup on the lot. So we'll be at every West Coast show.
And they can find you at Online Ceramics on Instagram and onlineceramics.com, right?
Yep. Online-ceramics.com.
Sweet. All right, you guys.
I know this is a little forward, but I love you guys.
Aww.
Love you too.
I really do.
We love you
Send
guys.
In some love from Portland for sure, guys.
Oh.
Have a fucking badass day, you two. We'll
dude,
talk
I
soon,
used
okay?
to live off of Alberta and Prescott.
Oh shit, okay. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I lived there for like 6 months.
This place is magical, man. It's awesome up here.
Yeah, I love Portland.
All right, cool. We'll end it there.
Okay.
All right, have a good day, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Music Month on the Road to Now podcast. And to kick things off, we visit Dina McLeod at the Woody Guthrie Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Woody's music and his artwork and the things that he wrote, Those were just his avenues of being a social justice advocate. We definitely, as part of our mission, want to make sure people understand who he was as a person and what his ultimate goal was, to speak up for the disenfranchised, to help people who needed it, and to reach out to everyone to join together and work together for a better tomorrow.
This episode, Kills Fascism, The Life and Legacy of Woody Guthrie, with Dina McLeod, premiering May 7th on The Road to Now.
There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. Sign was painted.
Osiris.
Hey, this is Brendan from Umphrey's McGee. This podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Osiris works in partnership with Relics Magazine.
Osiris.